Well, welcome to all of the visitors. I tell you, in glancing across the auditorium, I would say this is one of our better Sunday evening gatherings. This is really a wonderful thing. And to the visitors, we're so very, very thankful for your presence. I tell you, whenever we have the young men's training class in the afternoon, I may be a little tired when I first get here, but I'm more rested when I finish up with the class. Isn't that interesting? And I think part of that is just the energy and the excitement and enthusiasm of seeing the young fellows who do such a good job in learning to read Scripture and lead prayers and make a talk and sing and that sort of thing. Now, that's a very wonderful thing, and I'm confident that the young ladies had a good class as well. I'll tell you something else I'm grateful for. We're always talking about the young people, but I'm thankful for their parents who care enough to bring them. What a wonderful thing that is. And so we had a fine class this afternoon. Well, I want to talk to you this evening about this subject, the question, am I easily offended? And I started thinking that we almost live in a society now where people congratulate themselves almost on being easily offended, or at least it seems that way to me sometime. Have y'all been keeping up with the chicken sandwich wars that are taking place right now? Do you know what I'm talking about? Well, so there is this controversy, there's this fighting going on about who has the best fried chicken sandwich. Is it Chick-fil-A or is it Popeyes or that sort of thing? And people are getting upset with one another over that subject. Now, I don't know what you have to be bothered by, but that one is way down on my list. And Popeye's Fried Chicken up in Maryland had a special line for people who wanted to get their new fried chicken sandwich. And one fella had the audacity to cut in front of some other folks who were there. And the person who got cut in front of got upset, and they stepped outside, and the upset one stabbed to death the fella. You can go on your smartphone and take a look at that. Just type in Chick-fil-A, Chicken Sandwich Wars, Maryland, and you'll come to that. And I just think, how ridiculous is it? But, of course, that's really not anything new. For example, we see these incidents of road rage. Now, somebody cuts you off in traffic, and you're upset about that, and so you're going to be 5 minutes late, and you pull out a gun and shoot the person? What are you thinking when something like that happens? Or around the holiday season, some store will have a sale going on, and the ladies get in a fist fight over who's going to grab whatever item happens to be on sale. Being easily upset or being easily offended, would I have to preach here very long for you to know that's not the way that a Christian is supposed to behave? Surely we know better than that. And yet, if you'll take a look in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 19, Proverbs 18 and verse 19, it says, a brother offended is harder to win than a strong city. It's hard to deal with somebody who gets offended, whose feelings get hurt for whatever reason, and it'd be easier to tackle a fortified castle than to try to win over that brother, is the point of the verse. It says, and contentions are like the bars of a castle. Let me ask you, as we begin to develop our thoughts this evening, have you ever known brothers and sisters in Christ who are church hoppers, who just hop from one church to another, and whenever their feelings get hurt at one place, then they move over to the next congregation? Now, before I get myself in trouble, I understand that there can be good reasons to leave one congregation and go to another. That's perfectly understandable, and a person might make a thoughtful decision to do that. What I'm talking about this evening are people who just make a habit, a lifetime habit, of hopping from one church to another congregation. And they got their feelings hurt, or somebody rubbed them the wrong way, or something came up that they didn't quite agree with, and so they just go down the road. And I'll guarantee you that when they get to your congregation where you happen to worship, don't count on them being there for very long, because as soon as they get mad or get offended there, they'll pack up their faith in their suitcase and carry it on down the road a little bit farther. And again, surely we know that that's not the way that Christians are supposed to act. I was thinking about the nature of love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is the great chapter about the nature of love, and especially perhaps verse 7. So 1 Corinthians 13 in verse 7 talks about the nature of a Christian's love, and it says what? Love bears all things. Right there at the very beginning. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Now surely that one passage is enough for us to know that it's not supposed to be in a Christian's character to be easily offended. And yet, if you are blessed with what I'm going to call a prickly personality, it may be that that is something that you wrestle with. It may be something that all of us wrestle with from time to time. Years ago, I preached a sermon that I didn't think at the time was particularly hard or challenging, but I received a phone call 2 or 3 days after I had preached that lesson from a friend who said, John, you better call old Joe, because Joe is getting ready to leave the church. He's getting ready to quit the church. And I said, he is? Why? What's going on? What's the matter? And my friend says he thinks that the last sermon you preached was directed straight at him. And he's upset. And I was thinking to myself, hit dog howls, right? Well, he wasn't even on my radar screen. I mean, he would have been probably the last person that I had in mind when I preached that lesson, but somehow he got it in his mind that it was directed specifically at him. And he was mad. And he was so mad, he was so offended, that he was going to quit the church because of that, without even bothering to talk to the fella that he thought had directed the sermon at him. Now surely, brothers and sisters, we know that's not the way that Christians are supposed to behave. Again, I'm going to ask you to be thinking about, and we're going to kind of use that one passage, that 1 Corinthians 13:7, as the basis, the foundation of our study, where it talks about the nature of love. And be thinking again about that passage, about bearing all things, having that kind of patient, loving disposition where instead of being easily offended, we are easily reconciled. I told y'all this morning, if you happen to be here this morning at services, that the genesis for this sermon was a comment that I heard Jamie Angel say. I think perhaps she brought it up in a class that we had. And she said, you know, a person can choose whether or not to be offended. You can make that choice. You can choose whether or not to be offended. And I thought about that over the months since she said that, and I believe that is a true statement. So would y'all do this with me tonight? Let's be thinking about times when we might be tempted to be easily offended and what Scripture teaches us about those times. And first of all, I just want to say we can all be offended, and there are some times when it is right to be angry. There certainly are some things that should make a Christian angry. The trick, the hard part, is to do what Ephesians 4, 26 and 27 says, when it says, be angry and do not sin. Now that is hard. There are some things which should cause you to be angry. And again, that's Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. And should we be angry at some things? Should sin and the consequences of sin and false doctrine, are those things that should make a Christian angry after a godly way? And the answer is yes. But to be angry in the right way and not to sin in the process, I think that is a very difficult thing for us to do sometimes. First of all, we should never be offended by the gospel. Now, I want you to think about that. Does the gospel have some hard teachings for us? Are there some teachings of Jesus and the other inspired authors and teachers in the New Testament? Are there some difficult matters there that might be challenging for us to accept, be difficult for us to obey? Yes. But I think all Christians would agree
that we should not be offended by the gospel. And yet, did you know in the New Testament there were people who were offended by the teachings of Jesus? Let me see if I can show you an example of that. Take a look in the Gospel of John, and this is going to be John chapter 6. And so we're taking a look at John chapter 6, and beginning about verse 48, Jesus talks about the close association, the intimate association that should exist between him and his followers. And he uses some words, he uses some imagery that I think culturally was very hard on the Jews. He talks about partaking of his body, partaking of his blood. And by the way, this is not talking about the Lord's Supper here. This is just talking about the close association between Jesus and his followers. But can you imagine to the Jewish ears when it starts talking about partaking of the blood and so forth? That was hard for the Jews to listen to. And they did not understand the figurative nature. Many of them did not understand the figurative or symbolic nature of what Jesus was saying. And they became upset at that. They became angry about that. And they even quit the Lord, not because he was saying something that was untrue or wrong. We know that's not what happened, but because they were offended at his words. Let me see if I can show that to you. So we're in John chapter 6, and we're picking up the reading in verse 48. He says, "I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which come down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread," and you can already feel many of them starting to get angry at that. "I am the bread. If you eat of the bread, you're going to live." And so he says, "If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." Y'all drop down to verse 53 of the same chapter, please. "Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood." Now, how do you think the Jews reacted to that? Eat his flesh and drink his blood. They couldn't understand that teaching. They were offended by the words of Christ. And he continues in that vein. And so as you continue to read here, drop on down, verse 56, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." And Jesus continues to talk about this close association that has to exist between him and his disciples. And so as you read, just come on down to verse 66 of the same chapter, verse 66, and it says, "From that time," that is from the time that Jesus gave that teaching, "from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with them no more." I wouldn't have been shocked if that said many of the, casually curious stopped listening to Jesus, or some of those who just, had a mild interest in what he said. I wouldn't be surprised if that verse said something like that. But I am kind of shocked that it says many of his followers, many of his disciples, no longer walked with him. Now, why is that? Because they were offended at the challenging teachings of Jesus. Now, Brother Evans will be up here preaching, and maybe I'll bring 50 sermons, and then I'll bring that one sermon on a subject that really rubs somebody the wrong way. Maybe it's a sermon on a challenging topic like marriage, divorce, and remarriage, or something along that line. And I'll guarantee you, even if all I did was get up here on my hind legs and read those verses, if I didn't make any comments and all I did was just read what Jesus said on the topic, somebody would get mad and somebody would leave. Now, why is that? Because they're easily offended. The Apostle Paul ran into the same problem. Remember, the Judaizing teachers came in, and they were trying to bind circumcision as a religious requirement on the Christians. And you'll remember that Paul had to kind of correct their false teaching. And I notice in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 16, he asked a very interesting question. Galatians 4 and verse 16, am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? You know, a fellow who tells you the truth, he ought to not be counted as your enemy. He ought to be counted as your friend. But what was the danger? The danger is that some of the Galatian brethren would become offended by the nature of his teachings. Again, I'm just thinking about some basic Bible passages that speak to this point. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 6, listen to the words of Jesus. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 6, our Lord says, and blessed is he who is not offended because of me. And so I am too easily offended. If I hear a strong gospel sermon and it's true to the book, let's just assume that it's true to the book, and it's spoken to teach, it's spoken to edify, and I become offended by that gospel sermon, then I'm too easily offended if I'm offended by the gospel. I have a friend back in East Texas who made the grave, horrible mistake of getting up and preaching on the subject of gambling in front of the congregation. And the problem was there were a lot of folks in the congregation who liked to play the state lottery. Would y'all like to guess what was the last sermon he was allowed to preach? That sermon. I'll tell you the problem there. The problem was, and even though he made good points, he showed that gambling was contrary to some of the very principles that Christians are supposed to work by, like, you know, hard work, thrift, industry. Even all those points were good, he was run out of the church. And why was he? Because folks were offended at the preaching of the gospel. Second point I'm going to ask y'all to think about with me this evening. I am too easily offended when I become upset because folks don't cater to my judgment or my wishes on matters of opinion. It's easy to happen. Easy for that to take place. And so if you think about it, in every local church, there are going to be hundreds, I mean literally hundreds, of matters of judgment and opinion that have to be decided. Now, we're blessed to have qualified serving elders at this congregation. Many churches don't enjoy that great blessing. But let's say you're trying to decide whether or not to meet at 9:30 a.m. or 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. Boy, now there's just something to fall out over, isn't it? There's something to get mad and upset at one another over. Or will our gospel meetings, will they be 1 week long? Are they going to be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday meetings only? There's another matter of judgment. Are we going to buy tan or maroon carpeting for the auditorium? Or how many adult Bible classes are we going to have? Or will we record the sermons on CD or DVD? Or what preachers are we going to get for our gospel meetings? Or how much are we going to pay the local preacher? I mean, you could just multiply those decisions that have to be made. And I want y'all to know I'm upset because y'all don't always agree with me. And my opinion doesn't always hold sway. And I'm mad about that. And there's not anything you can do to make me happy about that. You know, some folks are like that. And friends, surely that is not the way that a Christian is supposed to behave. There's the potential for all kinds of problems if a brother or sister gets their back bowed up and gets upset because folks don't happen to agree with them on some matter of judgment or some matter of opinion. You know, I think there's a lot. If you want to put this the context of a Bible example, I was thinking about an episode that's recorded for us back in the book of Genesis, and this is going to be Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. And we're going to be reading about Abram at this time, and Lot. And there is a problem that arises between Abraham and Lot. By the way, while we're getting ready to read this, in a congregation, if it's a matter of opinion, if it's a matter of judgment, what should sort of be the guiding principle in solving those matters of judgment? What do y'all think? How would you decide that? Now, if you've got elders, you got a way to get those matters of judgment solved in an expeditious way. But otherwise, how do you think you decide those matters of judgment or opinion? What do you think? How would you do that? I'm thinking to myself, well, probably the guiding principle should be just defer to the other person, right? You know, just give in to the other person if it is just a matter of opinion. And then I would say a principle in Scripture is in matters of judgment to defer to the older people, the people with more experience. You know, the Bible talks about the value of the gray hair, the people who have walked down that pathway before. And so I would say if it's a matter of opinion, you defer to those who have age and experience. And if it is just a matter of judgment, as best you can, if somebody wants to know your opinion on it, feel free to give the opinion, but you just try to defer to the other person as much as you possibly can. But boy, we find that hard to do sometimes, don't we? So in Genesis chapter 13 and verse 6, we're talking about Abraham and Lot. Now the land was not able to support them that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. So Abraham and Lot, the land wouldn't be able to support both of them on the same acreage, and they got to figure out some way to get that solved. It says in verse 7, there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. So they're having some disagreement. They're having some problems. You could see how that would happen. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. Now I want y'all to notice the wisdom of how Abraham deals with this, how this is settled. Notice Abraham, or Abram, said to Lot, "Please let there be no strife between you and me." Boy, that's a pretty good sentence right there. Let's not have a falling out over this. Let's not get all bent out of shape like somebody who has one of those road rage incidents. There's a way for us to solve this. And so Abraham says, "Please let there be no strife between you and me and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren." Oh, those are great lines right there. Those are great words to live by. And then he says, watch this. He says, "Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. And if you take the left, then I will go to the right. Or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left." What did Abram do? He deferred to Lot. He basically said, "I'm giving you the bigger half. You know, whichever direction you want to go, I'll go in the other direction." I just think there's a world of wisdom in that. By the way, did God figure out how to bless Abraham even though he gave Lot the first choice on that? Did God still know how to bless Abraham in all of this? I just think that Genesis chapter 13 is a wonderful example for us to live by. And I mentioned this matter of deferring to age and experience. May I just go ahead and give you one passage on that in Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 32, Leviticus 19 and 32, we're told, "You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God, I am the Lord." So as much as we're able, I think a guiding principle should be honoring those who have the age and the experience over us. Now, if it's a matter of doctrine, if it's a matter of revealed teaching, if it's a matter that God's Word has said there's a right and a wrong, how do we decide that? What should be the decision maker on that? The Bible. Scripture will decide that for us. In matters of judgment, you try to defer to the other person and allow this principle of deferring to the gray head, I think, to help us be guided in that. But we try to the best of our ability to guard against becoming easily offended. And we don't want to be like that little boy, you know, who just takes his ball and goes home because the other kids didn't want to play with him the way that he wanted to play. We don't want to have that attitude. And then let me say, we're too easily offended if we have a tendency to bear grudges, if we tend to hold on to grudges over past hurts, whether those hurts are real and imagined. Since we're in the neighborhood, can I show y'all a verse on that in the book of Leviticus? Take a look again in the same chapter, Leviticus chapter 19, and look at verse 18. So this is Leviticus 19 and verse 18. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. I got interested in that word grudge. What does that word grudge mean? And literally, in the Hebrew, it means holding on to your anger. Holding on to your anger. Remaining angry about something well past the time that you ought to. And if I'm ever tempted to bear a grudge, if I know that that's something that I struggle with, I'll tell you the best antidote to that. If you're trying to get past that, if you're trying to overcome that, I can tell you what the Bible says is the antidote to that. And that is to remember all the times that you have caused hurt in somebody else's life. Book of Ecclesiastes talks about that. Book of Ecclesiastes over about Ecclesiastes chapter 7 says, you know, if you're tempted to bear a grudge against somebody else, just remember the times that you've caused hurt in somebody else's life. We think about our own faults and weaknesses, it may make it easier for us to get past the grudges that we tend to hang on to. So when I think about my own faults and weaknesses and the times that maybe I have offended somebody else, maybe that'll make it easier to remember to not hold a grudge against another person. Just think this is very hard for us. And I think that maybe it is harder for some personalities than for other personalities. Like I said, if you're a passionate person, if you have kind of a prickly personality, if your temper rises quickly, and you basically know if you have that tendency, I think maybe this kind of teaching is especially important. And realize that is not the nature of the life of a Christian. That's not the nature of love. That's not the nature of the way we're supposed to teach one another. And of course, what's the main problem with being easily offended? What would y'all say is the main problem? I'll tell you what I think it is. I think it's that basically, it's a selfish attitude. And when I'm easily offended, who am I thinking about? Come on now. If I'm easily upset, if I'm easily angered, you know, if the teacher didn't do something right, or the preacher didn't do something right, or the song leader didn't do something right, and I get all bent out of shape and angry about that, who am I really thinking about right then? I'll tell you who I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about myself. It's basically a selfish attitude, and it's the opposite of the attitude we're supposed to have. I think that in this afternoon's class that Peyton Besselman gave a lesson on Romans chapter 12, and he used different verses of what I'm going to use, but I'm going to ask you to go to Romans 12 for a moment and listen to the nature of love beginning in verse 9. So this is Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. Where the Apostle Paul says, let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be kindly affectionate to one another. Now, do y'all think the easily offended person is doing that? No, that's not what he's doing at all. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. There is no room in those verses for being easily offended. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient. Ooh, there's a tough word. Patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, goes on and talks about being hospitable in nature. All of that is the opposite of being easily offended. The devil loves it when I'm easily offended, because he knows that that can be a great hindrance, a great discouragement to a local congregation. If we are easily offended with one another, we're doing just exactly what the devil wants us to do. And those who are easily offended are usually the ones who are least likely to reach out and to help others on any kind of a consistent basis. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do, and this is going to be your invitation this evening. Ask yourself one simple question. Am I easily offended, or am I the kind of person who is easily reconciled? And then I'm going to ask you to think back to the question that we began with this evening. Do you remember what Jamie said? She said, a person can choose whether or not to be easily offended. What choice am I making tonight? Are you offended by the gospel? Are you ready to be obedient to the gospel and be baptized into Christ? Won't you respond while together we stand and sing?